So Lord, we ask you to put your spirit afresh on Greg, to anoint him afresh. And Lord, to really open our hearts and our wills to the challenge of your word and to the presence of your spirit this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you, David. Now, why are we doing this? Why are we looking at Romans? Did you notice the sudden shift just now? Did you notice the sudden shift just now? We were looking at those pictures, we were laughing, there were funny comments, there were all of that. And suddenly those words go up on the screen and you think, oh wow, what is that? Do you get the difference? That's why Christianity is a mixture of experience, because Christianity is about what God does. So many people confuse Christianity with what I should do, what I don't do, what I want to do. But first of all, Christianity is about what God has done. But the problem is the following. Nowadays, many people experience Christianity by coming to churches like this, and they feel good, and it encourages them, and it's fun, and there's lots to do. But they've never really understood what God has done. And that's not a good place to be. That's why God has given us what we call the Bible. Because it's not enough to be a Christian and to experience Christianity. You have to understand it as well. Why? It's not that you have to understand it to make it happen. You have to understand it to be able to be what God is making you. Because what happens? There's Sylvia over there, you might like to give her a round of applause. Sylvia and I became Christians. We were part of the swinging 60s. If you want to go to Facebook, you can see me with the guitar and hair down to here. Sylvia in a miniskirt up to here, but you might not want to do that. I don't know. But we came out of that, and we were so glad to get out of all that stuff. And the two of us became Christians, and then we got married, and then we had a family, and then, as David said, we went out to do mission. But it wasn't long after becoming a Christian that I realized that in some ways I was the same person. I still had the same temperament. You see, when you become a Christian, God doesn't change your temperament. You are still the same person. But something has changed. Before it was you, and you kept going as far as you wanted to go up, you would go down. And the more you wanted to go up, you'd go down. And you found that out. Paul says it very clearly in another chapter in Romans, chapter 7. He says, this is the problem. I know what I should do, but I don't do it. And I know what I shouldn't do, and do you know what the problem is? It's what I do. Now, that's the problem. That's why God does something in you. And what he does two things. This is all of your garbage. This is all of your sin. This is all the rubbish that you know is in you and has happened in you. Right? And that's how you live. Jesus came into the world without any garbage, without any sin. And he didn't just come to give you a pat on the back and say, try harder. He came to deal with this. What did he do? He went to what's behind me. Can you see that wooden thing with an upright thing and a vertical thing? What do we call it? A horizontal thing? A cross. And on the cross, Jesus took all that bad off you and took it on himself. So all, in God's eyes, all the bad in you is now no longer on you. Did you know that? That's not something that might happen if you're really good and keep going to church and giving your money to the church and smiling and being happy. That's happened now. And when God looks at you, he doesn't just see you as forgiven. He sees you as if you'd never done all those things. That's called justification. That's the big word, but you can say in English, it's just as if I'd never sinned. But he doesn't just take all that off you. Jesus was righteous. That means he has all the goodness of God in him. So he doesn't just take all that horrible stuff off you. He puts Jesus' righteousness in you. Now, do you see that? When did that happen? On the cross. And it's now the truth about you. Now, that's why I'm saying it's terribly important to understand, because most of us have that change, but we go on living if it's never happened. Because we think, well, I'm the same person. We don't live as if that has happened because we haven't understood it. I talk to people all over the world, and I find lots of lovely Christians who've had wonderful experience, but they haven't understood that God has done something in us. Inside, we are different. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He's changed you inside. You're not the same. But the trouble is, you think you are the same, and you go on doing what you did before. That's why one verse in the Bible that's terribly important is, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Start thinking like a Christian. You see, God treats you as if you'd never sinned. Now, you're looking at Romans. If you are serious about this, and I'm sure you are, can I ask you to make time to read the book of Romans? You can get it on your iPhone. You can even get, I'm much older, so I use this thing which is called a book. And it's got the book of Romans in it. But read it. The Apostle Paul wrote the letter to the Romans, and it's one of the most expensive letters ever written because it's the longest. It's not just the longest epistle or letter in the Bible, it's the longest epistle ever written that we have record of. And it was very expensive. Why did he write it? Because the people in Rome hadn't become Christians because Paul preached to them. They become Christians probably because they'd been in Jerusalem when the Holy Spirit fell. They become Christians and they'd gone to live in Rome. And Paul wanted to make sure they had understood what had happened to them. Not that they'd understood so that they could try better. He wanted them to understand what had happened so that they could be what they are. I'm going to say that again. He wanted them to understand so that they could be what you already are. So he wrote this long letter. Please, please, take time. Just say, I'm going to sit down for an hour and I'm going to read the letter to the Romans. Can I tell you what will happen when you do that? You will suddenly remember all the urgent things you should do. Like make a cup of coffee, check your email, all these terribly important things. I can guarantee that. The minute you start to read your Bible, you're suddenly aware of all these very, very important things that you should do, and you don't do it. Why does that happen? Because we have an enemy who doesn't want us to do it, and he throws these ideas at you. So say, no, I'm going to read it. sit down, lie down, whatever, and read it and let God tell you not what's going to happen, but what has happened. Guys, can we go to Romans chapter 5, please? Look at this. Can you look at the screen? I know I am absolutely lovely to look at, but look at the screen for a moment. Therefore, because of everything he said so far, since we have been justified by faith, somebody who understands grammar and tenses, past, present, or future, is that something that has happened or something that will happen? We have been justified by faith or through faith. It's happened. Past. 12th of September 1970, Gregory James Venables married Sylvia Margaret Norton. Past. It's happened. And here we are. Not looking too bad, are we, darling? You know. So, we have been justified by through faith. It's happened. We've been put right with God. Therefore, we have peace with God. Can you imagine what that means? The war's over. You've got peace with God. God says, come on in. I love you. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse. Through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace. We have gained. Past, present, or future. Past. We can go in. We got the ticket. We've got access by faith into this grace. What is grace, David? God's favor on your life. You don't deserve it. But God looks at you with favor. That's grace. You can't deserve it. You don't deserve it, but you've got access to it. It's like somebody says, you've now got access to millions and billions of dollars. You see why I get excited? Do you see? And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. We've got a future. We know where we're going. Where are we going? We're going to the glory of God. I love it when I get on an aeroplane and the pilot says, this is flight 246 to Buenos Aires. And I think, thank heavens, the pilot knows where we're going. And then I sit back and enjoy the flight. Next verse. Not only so, but we glory in our sufferings. You say, yeah, but why have I got these problems? I don't know, but God uses them for good. We sung about it. It's for good. I don't like it. But I don't have to think something's gone horribly wrong. When something goes wrong, you can say, well, God's got his hand on this. We're going down to Ross Trevor on Tuesday with Hillary and David to visit two old friends that we worked with for years in Paraguay. They're both dying. But they're not miserable and sad because they know where they're going. And it will be sad because we're going to have to hug them and say, look, we really miss you. They're like aunties to our children who are now in their 40s. But we glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance on, perseverance character, character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. David, past, present, or future. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Past. The Holy Spirit lives in my heart. When I wake up in the night thinking about things that worry me, the Holy Spirit's in my heart. So now we're going to go to chapter 6 because this raises a big problem. Chapter 6, please. Romans chapter 6, please. Okay, now Paul is a very bright guy. He says, okay, these people are going to think everything's been forgiven. I'm all right, so whoopee, I can do what I like. That's what we're like as human beings, isn't it? It's called antinomianism, if you want the long word. It means, now that everything's all right, I can do what I want. No. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Because everything's all right, do I go on doing what's wrong? And let me tell you, I've just got back on, whenever it was, Thursday, from Uganda, and I had to go to the university in Kampala to address a whole group of students who believe that now. They believe, well, it doesn't matter. It's called hyper-grace. Hyper-grace. And they're all getting this phony teaching that says, well, you can do what you like now. And I had to fly out there and say, no. Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. And what does he say? We are those who've died to sin. Something's happened. Before, I sinned and I had no alternative. Now, I don't have to because I've died to sin. Sin is still in me. The desire to sin and the tendency to sin is still in me. But I have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? So just as Jesus died on the cross, we died with him. So that means that that horrible thing in us that makes us sin is now dead. The tendency is still there because, as I said earlier, you're still the same person. But it's died. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might live a new life. Now there's the shift. You mustn't go on living in the death. You've got to move over and start living in the life. You've got to live what you are. You are that now. But you've got to live it. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Now, what happened before? You and I were slaves to sin. What does that mean? It means you had no choice. You did it because you were a slave. But you are no longer a slave to sin. You've been freed from the slavery. Before, you did it and you had no option. But now you have been freed from that, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him, for we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And there's the thing that you and I have to do, because we have to do something. We can't make it happen. God has made it happen. We've not only been forgiven, we have been changed. But what we have to do is to count ourselves dead to sin. We've got to live knowing that that's the case. You have to put it into action. You have to count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And that's the shift. It's a shift here, because here it's already happened. I don't have to do it. I don't have to go on doing those things or not doing things that I should do, because now there's a change inside me. Now, when you sit on an aeroplane and the pilot says, okay, 5 minutes, he normally says half an hour, of course, but never mind, 5 minutes, we'll be taking off. He doesn't then say, now I want you all to really make an enormous effort so we can get this enormous plane into the air. He just sits there in the cockpit and it happens because it's the power that does it. That's the Holy Spirit in you. He's done it. You just have to believe as the pilot believes. He doesn't have to tense himself up. You know, sometimes I sit next to people on aeroplanes who are keeping the plane in the air. I'm sitting there sort of doing whatever I'm doing. The person next to me is... You don't need to. You don't need to. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. You could do, because sin is still your tendency. You could let sin reign, but don't. Don't. That means that you have to use... 8 years ago, my wonderful mother, 96 years old, went to glory. She taught me a lot of wonderful things. One of the things was she would say, Gregory, say no. You can say no. You can say no. And say no. Say no to yourself. Talk to yourself. I'm sure some of you do sometimes when you're on your own. But say no. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin. Is that clear or is it not clear? Is it clear? Don't offer any part of yourself to sin. Your tongue, which is the worst thing, or any part of you, your mind, as an instrument of witnesses, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who've been brought from death to life, who have been brought to death. It's happened. You're now in life. And offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. You guys, you pick the violin up, you pick the guitar up, and they're instruments and you play them. Use your life like that. Do something beautiful for God. Say, here I am. I can use this instrument to do something good. For sin shall no longer be your master. Sin is no longer your master. You're free. Now. Because God lives in you. That's a wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit, David. It isn't just that the Holy Spirit helps you to lift your hands up in worship and feel good. He's done a complete transformation inside you. He's no longer just over there. He's in you. For sin shall no longer be your master because you're not under the law but under grace. I'm going to say a prayer in a minute, and I want to ask those of you who are serious about this to pray with me to say, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. But I want to tell you very simply, before I do that, the secret of it all. What would you say here now, 22nd of April, 2018, with all the changes in morality that we've lived in, and the changes have been massive, haven't they? The changes have been massive. I won't go there now, it would take too long, but the changes in morality, but even so, with all the mega changes we've seen, how would you feel if I said to you now, this is Sylvia, would you like to stand up, darling? This is Sylvia. We've been married nearly 50 years, and I am 90% faithful to her. Now, even with today's mega changes, how would you feel about that? Would you think that was all right? Would you say that's okay that Greg is 90% faithful to her? Would you say that's okay? Even with the mega changes we live in, would you say that's okay? You can answer. No, of course not. You see, we know what good is. Well, what if I were to say, well, I'm 95%? How would that be? No. All right, okay, I'm going to make a real effort. Come on. 99%? No. Why not? Only one thing works. Sylvia, 100%. Is that what you want? Thank you. Sit down. So, dear beloved people, don't play about with God. Don't play about with God. How much more important that you and I are 100% faithful to Him. He gave His life for us. He loves us. So how can we not be 100% faithful to God? Because the secret is not the law, but love. And believe me, what keeps me on the straight and narrow with that lovely lady with the miniskirt in 1969 and the red hair is love. I am loved. She loves me, and I don't want anything to mar that. How much more with God? And God has made it possible because you are no longer under the power of sin and death. Because of the power, the law of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Has set you free. Can I invite you just to close your eyes where you're seated? Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful message, not just of salvation, but of new life and freedom from sin. Thank you for your love which sent Jesus into this world and to the cross so that we can be not only set free, but born again and filled with your Holy Spirit. And I pray right now that each one of us here who is taking this seriously might be able to be what you have called us to be. Help us to be what you've already made us, Lord. And help us to say no to what is wrong and yes to this wonderful freedom to which you've called us. And thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.